have our missionaries come and to report to us. And, you know, it's one thing to read those letters that we get on a regular basis telling us what's going on, and yet it's something else when the missionary themselves are here and we hear them and we're with them and we just are able to share with them. So it's a great blessing having John and Bev with us today. So John, I'm going to ask you to come and share the word with us today.
Sorry about that. Thought I'd try something and it didn't work. Try to use the elevator on this thing so you could see me a little better. But the most important thing is that you can hear me. It's great to be here this morning. This chair wouldn't last a month in Brazil. I'd tear it up. We picked it up. Actually, our son-in-law, who lives over in Kelowna, is the associate pastor in Prairie Flower Baptist Church, Tim O'Toole, and our daughter, Jonna, his wife, went to an auction in Winterset and picked this up for $750. They're way more than that. Just the elevator adaption to it in a new chair is $2,800. So, and that's nothing. They're very, very, very expensive. But picked this one up because we needed it. I'm trying to get used to it. And I thought I had it in tilt because I need to tilt it and recline it back and forth for circulation, for health purposes. And it was in drive, and I ran over a young man. I think he wins the prize for being the youngest person I run over, right? The chair weighs about 300 pounds. I weigh 206. So figure it out. He was a champ about it, I tell you. Feeling really sorry, really bad. But we're excited that God, when I woke up from missionary church planters in Brazil, Lord led us to difficult areas of Brazil, dangerous areas of Brazil, the slums of Brazil, where the drug lords rule, and most of the time the police are not welcome, so they don't even go in. So we communicate with the drug lords, and even though they say you're okay, if you start leading too many souls to Christ that are on drugs and no longer are, you mess with their finances, and they don't like that. I found out real fast. I was shot 6 times Sunday night after an evening service. Was flown back here to the States Air Ambulance, and don't remember a thing about it. I was in a coma. And when I woke up from the coma, my heart was still in Brazil, and by His grace and mercy, He has allowed us to go back. And since then, we have started a number of churches and graduated a number of churches. And the churches that we have started churches on their own, almost 30 of them on their own. So we praise the Lord for that. And people, how do you do it? I say I get stuck. I tip over. I end up in the hospital because I want to be checked out to see if anything's busted because I can't feel. But I say it's because you're praying for us. And that means a lot. And that's the main reason we are here today, to report back and to encourage you to pray for your missionaries, to have a global vision. And we praise the Lord that He allowed us to be here with you this morning. If you are a visitor here, we praise the Lord for you. God has a plan for you. And part of His plan, guess what, was for you to be here this morning. And if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, true meaning of life starts at that moment. You know, next Saturday, my wife and I will be heading south and west, okay? So we're going to be hitting 9 states in a little over a month. So we're going to be traveling a lot. And is it fun to travel as a quadriplegic? Not really. And I think it's harder on my wife than it is on me, because I help her drive from the back. That's not good. Although there's probably some ladies here that like their husbands coaching them. I doubt it. But it's exciting to come back. It's been almost 5 years since we've been here. And exciting to come back and see that you guys are going onward, forward, that you're remodeling your building, that you're upgrading, that you're putting in an elevator, although I don't like boring. That's why God leads me to exciting places, to start churches. And I write the home office and say, I'm going to start, the Lord's leading us to start a church. And when he named the place, and they, what? You know, our last church, we started the work right. We have two churches going right now in Brazil. The Nationals are happily doing the work, doing a good job. They send lots and lots of pictures. Take pictures and send. I send pictures. Then they send 104 all at once, you know. If you want pictures, here's pictures, you know. If you want to see some of them, if you don't get tired of our pictures. By the way, that's next service, okay, at 11? 11:30. So I better get done with this one before 11:30 so we can start the next one, right, Pastor? I encourage you to stay to see our presentation, to hear about the work more in depth. We need to find our place in the world. As we gravitate south, we will see more homeless people. In Brazil, we have homeless also, I like to interview the homeless because we are in the slums, in the poorer parts of Brazil. There are many homeless, like there are homeless here in the United States, and I ask them key questions. Christ died on a cross for them too. And I ask them key questions, and I ask them, why? I said, Brazil has a good president now. There are jobs in Brazil. The mayor of this city is daily going on the news, telling of programs for you to train. And if you have a problem with drugs or alcohol or something else, he has a solution for that too, a place center for you to go to rehab and for you to train and to get a job. And they go, I know. Yeah, I'm thinking about it and all. And I said, why don't you do it? And they said, well, we really don't know why. We don't know what life is all about. And basically that is that if you would interview homeless, they don't know what their place is in the world. And they get lost. And they give up, and they go to drugs, and they go to alcohol, and many of them aren't even into that. They just go into a lifestyle and drop through the cracks in a society that wants to help them. And we are there, and we've shared, and many of them over the years have gotten saved and are active members in church. In the church, and some of them are even pastors and pastors' wives. I'm thinking of one that's very dynamic, Washington, and his wife, their family lived on the sidewalk. And we had a street meeting, and they heard the gospel and accepted Jesus Christ for the first time. And from that moment on, they started finding their place in the world. They had a different vision of what it was all about. Brazil is the largest Catholic country in the world. We minister to a lot of Catholic people. And there is a name that is brought up here in the United States most of the time only around Christmas. Well, guess what? In Brazil, that name is brought up daily, many times. And that's a person that we find in the Gospels. And it's a lady, and her name is Mary. Mary means a lot to the Catholics because in their mind, she is basically a member of the Trinity. She's the Queen of Heaven. And she means a lot to them to the point where they even call her their mother. So as Bev and I are about, we're in the mountains now. We live on the side of a mountain. Our backyard is quite exciting. It's at about a 30-degree angle. So going up the aluminum ramp to get in here this morning from the van, we pulled the van up to the steps. Everyone said, "How did you get in here?" I was hoping there'd be a crowd so I could collect admission to the show, you know. But you didn't come. We brought an aluminum ramp, and it was basically at a 30-degree angle, and we made it up. It's great. And we go from door to door and witness to people and invite them to our church, and we speak about the Lord and how He has a plan for their lives. And we say, "Do you have any questions?" And a good percentage of the time, the subject of Mary comes up. And we either have a Bible along or we ask, "Do you have a Bible?" And we open the Bible and we say, "You know, here is what, you know, one person says this and the other person says something different. But the Word of God says this," and we open it and show it to them. And we showed how Mary was waiting for her place. She was already engaged, getting ready to get married, and an angel appeared to her and basically explained to her how the Holy Spirit was going to come over her and she was going to be expecting a child, and this child wasn't any child. He would be the Savior of the world. And she didn't understand it all. And we as missionaries, and maybe you, don't understand it all when God speaks to you in a special way to do something special. And we waste time questioning God. And we explain to God, Mary did not question the angel. When he said, "It's only going to happen to you. It hasn't happened to anyone else, past, present, future, never. You're the mother of the Savior." And she was also informed that all generations would call her blessed. And these folk look at you like, "Wow, I didn't know that the Bible taught that and that you believe that." Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 1, verse 38. Once again, ask the blessing of God over the message this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. May it touch our hearts and our minds. And if there is one here this morning that is not saved, that they might leave here a believer with a new meaning in life to live for you for eternity. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Luke 1:38, And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Beyond a shadow of doubt, she didn't understand everything that was said to her, but she said, "I'm ready. I'm ready to obey. I'm ready to bow. I'm ready to go forward," which just what you said. I don't understand it all, but I'm ready. And that's what God wants of me. That's what God wants of you. He doesn't expect you to understand the Bible from cover to cover. My dad was a theologian. He taught in a seminary in Brazil. He would read the Bible twice in Portuguese, twice in English, and once in the original languages every year. And as a quadriplegic, I'm getting more into reading it. No, I don't go to the originals, but I do enjoy reading it, once in Portuguese, once in English. And I asked Dad a question. I said, "Dad, you read the Bible five times every year, every year, every year, and you start churches, and you teach in the seminary." And he said, "Yes, son, I do." "So why? Usually when you read a book once, you don't read it again." "And you've read it over 100 times. He said, "Well, son, there's a lot in there that I haven't learned yet." It's the truth. And the more we get closer to God in His Word, the more closer we want to get. Later on in the chapter, she walks to her cousin's house, the mother of John the Baptist, and she didn't live across the street. She lived a couple, two or three days walking distance, and many say that Mary was musically inclined. I enjoyed the organ. We haven't heard organ for years. We don't have an organ in Brazil. We live in the tropics, and a lot of termites, and they love pianos like that one and organs like that one. So we take the EPs, which are electric pianos. They're pianos, but they're electric, and they're plastic. So termites don't eat plastic. And pianos get out of tune, so you have to tune them 3-4 times a year in the tropics, and it's you have to kind of work with what you have. And as she walked to her cousin's house, sorry about the sideline there, she made up a little song, and when she got there, she sang it. And you will see that in verses 46 and 47, Mary declares something. In one of the verses, she says, calls Jesus, whom she was carrying at that moment, her Lord, Lord of her life. "You run my life." And she not only meant it with her mouth, she meant it with her mind and her heart. And then the next verse, she calls him her Savior. And I see, what do you see here? If Mary, the chosen one, not by me, not by you, by God, needed Jesus as her Lord and Savior, do you think that you're going to get to heaven on good works? Are you better than Mary? And they get big eyes. They go, wow. That's almost sacrilegious for a Catholic to say that they're better than Mary. That they found a new way to get to heaven, that being a good person, that God is like Santa Claus. If you're a good boy or girl, you get a present, which would be salvation. And if you're not, you get a lump of coal, which would not be banished from heaven. And believe it or not, many religions teach that. And for the first time in their lives, many of them see that, my, I would never classify myself as better than Mary, and that all I have to do is be a good person and I'll be able to enter heaven, which they've been taught all their lives. But they have to bow the knee and surrender and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Like Mary herself declared that she actually did. I'm looking forward to meeting her someday. I hear her name daily, many times, when we're on the mission field. We need to find our place in the world. I said, see, Mary found her place. She didn't understand the full. It was kind of scary because to not be fully married, she was only engaged, and being in the situation where she was, she could have been stoned to death. It was the law at the time. But the angel of the Lord came to her and she accepted it. God has led us in a marvelous way to Guarani Indian villages and on the reservations. And many have warned us, even the federal police, they have said, do you know that that is a nation in a nation and we don't have any jurisdiction in there? If they would like to put an end to your life in there, we could ask for your body, but they don't have to give it up. It is dangerous. And yes, we know, but God has asked us to do this. And we'll take the risk. And because of that risk, and the risk of many missionaries who have gone not only to South America, but to places, other places in the world that aren't as nice as Iowa City. What's the chances? See, I was going to tilt and it was in drive. That's what I did a little while ago, and a young man was sitting very close. Well, I still feel bad about that. There are places in the world it's very dangerous for missionaries to go. There are 56 countries where there are Brazilian missionaries going. On every continent in the world today, there are countries where I can't go, but they can go, and they're going, knowing full well that they might not ever be able to come back home because it's dangerous. But if God places our heart there, we must go. Because if we don't, life will be meaningless, and we'll be like many homeless, just wandering around, just trying to find their place, but looking in all the wrong places. We need to find our place. We need to pray for the world. In Brazil, they don't have garage sales. And we like garage sales. Especially if we have a list of things, we make a list of things that we want or need, And we try to stick to that. It's hard, isn't it? But it's only 50 cents. If you don't have a globe, I'd like to encourage you to buy one. That's a good place to buy one, at a garage sale. And it's yours, so you can get little pieces of paper and put missionary names on it and put it on that city in the world where they're at. And as you pray, spin the globe and pray for them and get their prayer letters. Or we have a blog also. Get a prayer card back there. We put little ones so they'll fit in your purse. And some ladies go, yeah, my purse is this big, you know, and it weighs 50 pounds. No, it doesn't weigh 50 pounds. I don't need a weapon. I got a purse. But it's small enough to fit in your wallet also, gentlemen. And pray for us. Pray for the work. We have a blog, and it's on there. Look it up. There's a lot of pictures that we don't. We have so many pictures that we pick and choose and put them on our blog so that you have extra pictures to look at, so you'll get a better feeling of where we are and what we are doing. You'll be able to pray in a better way. We find our place, and we need to pray for the world. 1 Timothy chapter 2, great apostle's letter to the young pastor. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 4. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Is there someone that rubs you wrong? That verse is telling you to thank the Lord for them. Oh. My dad, when I was in junior high, my dad came to a conference in Florida, and he promised to buy us all a present. He had five children. I have four siblings, a brother and three sisters. And he got them all present. He gave them all their presents, and they opened, and he gave me mine last. I guess he went on a little tour in the Everglades, and he got a little plastic alligator, and it had a saying below it. And I didn't like it one bit. It said, I don't get mad, I just get even. I think I still have that little alligator. I should run around with it. It had helped me to pray for all men, because there are some people that rub me wrong, and God tells me to be thankful for them. Pray for them. And if they're saved, ask them to pray for me, because I need it. Verse 2, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Bev always asks me every year, she won't learn. We've been married 36 years, and she says, what do you want for your birthday? And I say two words that are in this verse, peace and quiet. Especially when we had four children and we lived in a slum in Brazil. That'd be the greatest present for me. And here's the secret to leading a peaceable and quiet life. Praying for all men, praying for those even in authority, even though you didn't vote for them and they're, in your eyes, a terrible person. Just think if they got saved. Wow. Maybe they're wandering around. They're not homeless. They live in the White House, but they need the Lord. Oh, maybe you like the president. That to pray for him, he needs your prayer. There's a lot of people that don't like him. I'm not going to talk politics. It's wrong. I'm in the house of the Lord. Let's talk about him. But the verse here says to pray for him, so verse brought it up, so I'm going to talk about it a little bit. I'm over it. And it's the only thing to do. Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will, who desires that all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of truth. I had a friend that I prayed for many years. God just kind of guided me towards this guy. His name was Manuel Emmanuel, just think. Nothing godly about this guy. Just made friends with him. Didn't run around because all the things he did, I don't do. But we were friends. We would see each other on occasion, talk a little bit, and I'd remind him that I was praying for his lost soul. Said, oh, I'll never get saved. You're wasting your time. So why don't you, well, then I'd have to stop drinking, I'd have to stop smoking, I'd have to stop swearing, I'd have to stop. And he had a list of things. And he said, I'm not ready for. So why don't you pray for so-and-so? And he always had another person that was a good candidate for being a born-again believer. I said, look, Emmanuel, do you know what your name means? And I'd share it with him, and he'd just shake his head. He said, you're wasting your time. One morning at 3 in the morning, a phone rang. It was him. I'm saved. I'm saved. Who's this? Said, Emmanuel, your friend. I was shocked. Have you ever been shocked when you pray for something for years and years, and God answers your prayer finally? And you're speechless? Yeah, right, John Leonard speechless. Yeah, fat chance. Well, I was. Emmanuel has died of stomach cancer. He was joyful in the Lord. He said, you know, my past, I was trying to find life, and I didn't know. So I'd bury myself in alcohol and gambling and terrible, I'd swear a lot, and I was just trying to find my place in the world. And I never found it. You were right all the time. He said, I wasted so many years. He said, well, go tell other people about it. He said, no one knows me because I changed so much. And I said, yeah, that happens, doesn't it? He said, life is wonderful. And he had stomach cancer. I visited him, and I said, how are you doing? He says, I'm doing great. It's terrible. The doctors say it's painful. He's in heaven now. He's in glory. You'll meet him someday. See, a missionary came through and said, you weren't the greatest of people, and he'll agree with you. God wills that all men be saved. Is that my desire? Is that your desire? We need to find our place. We need to pray. We need to proclaim. Revelation 5, 9, last verse. Someday up there, if you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, want to put the verse up there, please, sweetie? We'll all get together. We're either going to be raptured or we're going to die and we'll be there. And if you say, I'm dying to go, I'm dying to be there, it's the truth. We die a little every day. But those who have Christ, don't worry about it. We're looking forward to it. We're going to learn a new song. No matter what language you speak, on that day we'll all understand each other and we'll all learn it together. And part of that song, I hope it's only part because it's kind of short, if it's only this, I think this is just a taste of it. to look forward to yearn. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. And I like the last part, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And all your prayers for lost souls around the world, and all your sacrifice of sending, you'll see the big picture then. As Mary didn't see the big picture, you don't see the big picture, but you'll just meet the thousands and say, wow, it was worth it. It was worth it. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time in your word. We pray that you will guide us and direct us and help us as we try to shine our lights in a dark world every moment, every hour. And if there be one here that is not saved, that today will be their day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Pastor.